The date is every December since 1965. And the place is television screens all across North America and perhaps the world. In between scenes of the Grinch slithering around Whoville, George Bailey looking for a wonderful life, Rudolph not playing reindeer games, Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown is on a mission. A mission of discovering and looking for an answer to a question that he asks. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Does anybody know what Christmas is all about? It isn't until Linus, good old Linus, and I love Linus, him and his blanket, and Linus is able to make that answer, and the answer that he gives in the Charlie Brown Christmas story, or Christmas event, whatever you call it, show, he gives the answer from Luke chapter 2, and it is a beautiful answer. But Linus is able to tell him what Christmas is about because he goes to the Word of God. Now, the last time that I mentioned the Charlie Brown Christmas special, I received a copy of it on Blu-ray, so I don't need a copy of it. Just so you know, I do own a copy. I'd love to watch it. It's a wonderful, one of my favorites. But please don't buy me a copy. I've already got one. but today we are going to look at discovering Christmas again. With the exception of Bennett, I think all of us here have a Christmas experience. We all understand, we all know what Christmas is. And for some of us, Christmas is a whole bunch of different things. Some of us, it's the food. Some of us, it's the decoration. Some of us, like Christmas is lots of different things. We have formulated a view of what Christmas is all about to me. But at the heart of Christianity is the invitation to come. To come and see what the Bible says is really true. And God is inviting, he is an inviting God. And wants each of us to pursue him. And it is my prayer that we will get past all the Christmas clutter of the season. All the stuff that wants to drag us away from the meaning of Christmas. And get back to what really happened some 2,025 years ago, which is all about a baby being born in Bethlehem. It's my hope that we will see the Nativity in a fresh way this year. So I want to spend some time looking at Luke chapter 2. So let's set the scene. There is an angelic intervention that takes place when God rocks the routine of some guys who are just out there doing their job. Let's take a look at it in verse 8, Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now shepherding once was considered a noble profession. But by the first century, well, not so much anymore. It had lost its luster. Shepherds made up the lowest class of people, coming in just a tad higher than those of lepers. Nobody liked shepherds because shepherds spent all of their time in the field with sheep. They rarely came into town. Bathing was optional. All the rest of it. It's just one of these, it's no longer that noble profession of David. Sitting there in beautifully clean wardrobe and watching his sheep playing his harp. That scene has long gone past by the time that we are talking of. Living in the out in the fields, becoming basically an outcast in society. On top of that, living away from everyone, their language and their mannerisms became less appealing. They became more foul-mouthed. They were ready to fight at the drop of a hat. But on this night, except for an occasional bleep from the sheep, the night was quiet. And in the midst of the mundane, an angel of the Lord suddenly shows up. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Into the darkness of that silent night came the brightness of the glory of the Lord. And I'm sure the shepherds were rubbing their eyes and shaking in their sandals. Now, how many of you have envisioned this scene in your mind? Right? You envision the scene. We've got sheep. We've got shepherds. And the angel is flying up in the air. Right? And he's glowing. Am I right? Nodding, somebody, yeah, we're all on the same page, right? Well, guess what? That's not what happened. Did you read it? The Greek word for appeared means to stand beside or among. The angel was not up in the air flying. The angel appeared among them and stood among them. It's no wonder they were terrified. A moment ago, we're sitting around kind of chilling back with the sheep. And suddenly, in amongst us, there is standing a man who is glowing with the glory of the Lord. Right now, like, whoa, where did he come from? They are terrified. And this is totally understandable because angels often announce judgment. And these are the lowest of society, probably have just, I may be wrong on this, but my interpretive license is this, that when the angel appeared among them and they were terrified, there may have been a few words that needed to be bleeped out of the scriptures. But this time it was not an announcement of judgment. They had a message of joy. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." And the reason the shepherds did not need to be afraid is because the messages that they are bringing is that good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. And this phrase, good news, is where we get the word evangelize. This is the good news of great joy. The message is for all people. And I want you to see that there's the word you in there as well. It's for everyone, but it's for you. It's for the whole world, but it's also deeply personal for you. For you today, there is a message of good news and of great joy for you. And as the shepherds are trying to handle the message from one of the messengers, they are taken back again. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appear with the angel, praising God. Now, instead of just one of them, there's dozens or hundreds of them. I don't know, maybe this time some of them are flying. I don't know. But it's once again, it's among them. We've got angels in amongst the sheep. And it's like this flash mob showed up, but they're all glowing. And the heavenly hosts, they came unexpectedly, not just one or two, but a great company. And I imagine an entire area filled with a multitude of angels, some floating, some among the sheep, some of them glowing, or all of them glowing with the radiance of God, and suddenly the countryside is lit up. I have no clue, because it doesn't tell us, was it a moonless night? Was it one of those really, really dark nights? Was it overcast? Was it cloud? It doesn't say. All we know is that it's night. That the shepherds are in the fields with their flocks. And among them, the angels with all the glory of God appear. Kind of like the lights on the tree. They're there. It's not just one or two. There's dozens of them. There's lots of them. And by the way, the angels, they do sing in other portions of Scripture, but here they don't. They just say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. In order to discover Christmas again, we need to allow the shepherds to show us a few things. First, we see that until you go, you will not know. For after witnessing this incredible display of unbridled adoration and praise, the shepherds knew that they had to move. They couldn't just stay there. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They discussed what they should do and were unanimous in their decision to head to Bethlehem. In that instant, their fear was replaced with faith, and that faith went straight to their feet. Let's get up and go. Let's move. Let's go see this. Let's check this out. And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. There was no delay. They sped off to go and see. They didn't wait 2 or 3 days. They didn't sit there and go, "I'm terrified at what I just saw. I don't want to go see this." They understood the message, and they knew that they needed to go right away. The Almighty invites us to come. To come to Him. And I love the fact that we don't have to pay for what God wants to give us. We couldn't afford it anyways. I love that fact. Our only responsibility is to come. Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, "Come to me, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you will have, or you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live." When you're tired and heavy-hearted, Jesus makes the invitation in Matthew 11. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." But next we read what happens as a result of their going. And all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Just think what would have happened if the shepherds delayed a few days. Or if they had just sat there discussing what they had seen and what they had heard. Hey, don't get up. Let's figure this out. Let's debate this for a while. The angels have come. Okay, were they angels? Let's talk about that. Can you imagine if they would have done that? I don't know where you are today, but there's a point in which you will never know until you go. The offer is to come. Have you done so? Don't hold back. Don't stay distant and say, well, maybe tomorrow. Let me ponder this some more. Let me think about this. That's not what Jesus is asking. Don't stay distant. Instead, it's time to discover. Until you know, you will never show. Too many of us try to act like Christians, but the fact of the matter is that until you know Christ, you can't do the Christian life. Once you know, then you begin to show in the way that you sow the seeds of Christ, of the gospel, and how you share it with others. It's remarkable that shepherds don't pull up a bale of straw. They don't make themselves comfortable next to Mary and Joseph. Say, hey, we're going to check out this baby. We've been told about it. We're going to sit here for the next week. They don't do that. They didn't hang around the manger because they knew they are now the managers of the manger message. And notice that the message that they share had nothing to do with seeing amazing angels. It had nothing to do with Mary and Joseph. It was all about the child. They came to see him, and now that they head out to herald the good news, look at it, verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. We are here today because they couldn't keep quiet. My question is, are you quiet? Because once you know Jesus, it will show. The date was 1986. The place was Wisconsin. Bill was a college student. He had unruly hair. He wore t-shirts and old jeans and shoes with no socks. He'd just become a Christian. And he decided, located next to the campus was this really beautiful, well-to-do church. So one Sunday, Bill decided to go to church. I'm a new believer. I should do this. This is what Christians do. And he walked in late, wearing his everyday wardrobe. Couldn't find a seat because the church was fairly full. People noticed him walking down the center aisle as he became more uncomfortable as he went further and further down that aisle. They didn't know what he was doing. He just didn't see a seat anywhere. And he made it all the way to the front and finally decided, well, I'm a college student. I'm just going to sit down on the floor. Now, that's perfectly acceptable in college situations, but this is church. Things are proper. He's not dressed right, and he's sitting on the floor. And everybody's staring at him. They're not focusing on the service. And suddenly, this 80-year-old deacon stands up with his cane and walks down the aisle. And all you can hear is the click of his cane. Click. Click. And now everybody, their tension is growing and they're looking at it going, ah, yes, he's going to teach that kid a lesson. He's going to speak to him. They were relieved, thinking, I'm so glad somebody is going to tell that kid he can't sit there. All eyes focusing on the scene as he reached the student. He dropped his cane and sat down next to him. And then he said with great difficulty, may I sit with you? The pastor's about to start. A phrase that was heard across the entire sanctuary. Just over 10 years later, Bill, who had become a pastor, he was a pastor at a neighboring town, still friends with that old deacon, but back in that church once again to preside over that deacon's funeral. Now I see two truths here. First, when we know, it will show. Jesus calls us to reach out to people. He did. Think about what he did to reach out to us. He left heaven to become a baby in a manger to reach us. And secondly, this is so similar to what God did when he sent his son. Jesus entered our world and wants to sit down in relationship with us. If you go, you will know. And if you know, you will show. And until you begin to show, you will never glow. I know it's a lot of rhyming, but with hearts filled with gratitude, these men break out into praise. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They don't just wonder about what they saw with the angels or what they heard. They go, they see, they proclaim to others what has happened, and then they worship him who they saw. These rough shepherds go back to their jobs, but now they do so with praise on their lips, a renewed desire to give glory to God. Psalm 34 says, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. That means that when we give glory to God and praise to him with all of our lives, our faces will be radiant with the grace of God. When we show, we glow. Are you glowing for God? Do people even know that you're for God? Have you ever noticed that Jesus is hard to ignore, but he's really easy to miss? The date was January 12, 2007. 7:51 a.m. The place is the Metro subway station in Washington. A young man positions himself against a wall beside a trash basket. By most measure, he's nondescript. A white man in jeans, long-sleeved t-shirt, baseball cap. And from a small case, he removes a violin. He places the case on the floor in front of him. He reaches in his pocket, pulls out a little bit of seed change, and throws it in his case. For the next 45 minutes, the violinist performed 6 great classical pieces. And during that time, 1,097 people passed by. No one knew that the violinist was a gentleman by the name of Joshua Bell, a grand master of the violin, one of the leading classical musicians who fills concert halls. And on this Friday morning, Bell played a Stradivarius worth $3.5 million. The train station was his stage, and this beautiful music filled the air. And over time, the time that he played, seven people stopped to listen for at least 1 minute. 27 people gave money as they walked by. A few days before, he had filled the concert hall, people paying $100 a seat. On this day, he raised a grand total of $32.17. There was almost no applause, just silent indifference. The master musician was ignored. People walked past this musician and the musical beauty without giving a second glance because their lives are busy. They didn't have time to stop, with the exception of 2 people. The first was a postal worker named John, who had learned the violin as a youth, and he recognized the quality of Joshua Bell's performance and stood enjoying it from a distance. And then there was Stacy. She had seen Bell in concert just recently, and she recognized him, and she wasn't about to miss this event. Later, Stacy told a reporter that it was the most astonishing thing I've ever seen in Washington. Joshua Bell was standing there playing in rush hour, and people were not stopping, not even looking. Some of them flipping quarters at him. Quarters! I was thinking, what kind of a city do I live in that this could happen? I'll be honest, I don't use public transportation. We don't have a subway system here. But in a mall, if there's someone playing an instrument, I don't stop. Maybe I should. I know that my son has been known to play the piano at the bookstore. You know, the one that just sits there. Occasionally people stop and watch. In another place, in another time, the night was filled with heavenly music and brilliant light. Never has the earth seen such glory. The angels brought words from the majestic one, a savior, the chosen one, the long-awaited one, the Lord himself. The arrival of good news, of great joy for all people. Is there? This is God Almighty who has left the heavenly throne room to become flesh. And he lived among the angels. And now he's among cattle, sheep, us. The most extraordinary. Now amongst the most ordinary. And honestly, most people ignored him. They went about their business. Only some shepherds who were let in on the secret of his identity stopped to acknowledge him and enter into the joy of his presence in their world. One of the puzzles of Christmas is why God did it that way. Why didn't he make the angels fill the whole place? Why didn't he send them to Jerusalem? Why didn't he send them to all over the place, announcing this amazing event? Why? Why some lowly shepherds? God came as a baby in a manger for at least two reasons. First, because God wants to be accessible to all people, especially the least and the lowest of us. Like a violinist playing in a train station, God made himself available to the masses so that we can enjoy the beauty of his gift. And the second reason for God coming is that he doesn't want to impose himself on people. Rather, he invites us to enter into a relationship with him. The shepherd heard the angel's message. They sought out the Christ. They found him. And God invites us to seek him too. Finding the virtuoso in the subway, John and Stacy rejoiced. Finding Jesus in a manger, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, because they were just as they had been told. The shepherds were close to Christmas, but still needed to make the journey to Jesus. You may be close yourself, but you've not yet made the discovery that will change your life. The shepherds, they left their sheep. They left them behind so that they could go look at the Lamb of God. I'm going to be honest, it's going to cost you something to discover Jesus. Don't be afraid to pay the price. For to know Christ will cost you more than what you spend on presents. It's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you everything. But like the shepherds, you don't need to have much to know a lot. What matters is whether you go. It's in the going that you'll start knowing. And God is trying to break into the ordinary routine of your life with the message of the good news. He loves you, and he has sent his Son to be your Savior. I don't know if there's anyone here who still needs to make that change in your life, to become a believer in Jesus. But will you receive what he has done for you? Will you put feet to your faith? Will you go with Jesus? Jesus was born to the whole world, but he was also born to you. Christmas is his story, but it must become your story. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Today," that means right now, don't hesitate, don't procrastinate, "in the town of David, a Savior is one who forgives sins, has been born to you." You personally, he has been born. He is Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the Lord, the Master, and the leader of the universe. Until you go, you'll never know. And until you know, you'll never show growth. And until you grow, you will never glow. And that's what we want today. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I am in awe of you. I'm in awe of all that you have done. Thank you for inviting me to come. I don't understand how or why you can accept me, because I am a sinner, but I am thankful that you love me anyways. I want to turn from the way that I've been living without you. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You are the hope of the world. Thank you for not only being born, but for dying in my place, for raising again from the dead, so that I can be born again. Make me into the person that you want me to be. I want to show what I know to be true. And I want to grow so that I can glow for you. This I pray in the name of Emmanuel. Amen.